Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Markets.
Well, the Japanese market is like none other. We're going to take a deeper look into that market and opportunities for investing in Japan. Maybe some things to stay away from. But first, let's get with Charlie Pellett and a look at what's going on in business news headlines. Charlie?
All right. Thank you very much, Corey Johnson. We have got a developing business story, an after-the-bell change in the executive suite at HSN. Mindy Grossman stepping down as CEO. She'll be leading Weight Watchers International. Grossman's resignation from HSN will be effective May 24th. Weight Watchers shares surging more than 11%. Las Vegas Sands reported first quarter results that handily beat analyst estimates amid a continued recovery for casinos in Macau, the company's largest market. S&P 500 index declined today. The stocks moved lower, with the S&P ending the session at 2387. We had the Dow Jones Industrial Average tumbling today by 21 points to 20,975, so a close below 21,000, down 0.1%. NASDAQ pulling back from yesterday's record, down less than half a point at 6,025. The White House made its opening bid for what officials called the biggest tax cut in U.S. history. A list of goals for the tax overhaul was unveiled today by Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and President Trump's top economic advisor, Gary Cohn.
In 1935, we had a one-page tax form consisting of 34 lines with two pages of instructions. Today, the basic 1040 form has 79 lines and 211 pages of instructions.
And H&R Block shares declined today. They were down by 1.4%. Recapping, S&P down a point to 2387, a drop there of less than 1%. I'm Charlie Pellett. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Thank you very much, Charlie Pellett. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg Radio.
But tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun.
Following your investments in the land of the rising sun, Masa Takeda joins us right now, portfolio manager of the Hennessy Japan Fund. He's managing about $200 million in assets under management. He's based in Hong Kong in our Bloomberg 1130 studios in New York today. And Masa, talk to me right now in terms of the Japan Fund that Hennessy's running there, that you're running for them. The economic direction of the country, talk about where that is, if you think it's getting better or worse, and how you're investing accordingly.
Sure. I think Japan is moving in the right direction. You know, firmly, albeit slowly. The last few years, the market has been driven by Bank of Japan's monetary easing policy, but we think that has largely run its course, and so going forward, the government's structural reforms will be the key. And in terms of currency, you know, the biggest swing factor for the Japanese economy, at these levels, you know, dollar exchange rate at these levels, I think Japanese companies are comfortably profitable, generating a lot of cash flows. And towards the second half of this year, dollar-yen rate should start to compare favorably to a year ago levels.
So the comps get easier, as you're saying.
That's right.
As we look at those cash flow generation, you know, historically, Japanese companies haven't always put that cash flow to work. How do you expect that to happen, you know, as they generate those cash flows? Do you expect more spending in R&D? Do you expect, you know, share buybacks, debt pay down, and so on?
Yeah, I mean, Japan is not the companies are not over-leveraged. So what's been happening is that, you know, cash flows have been abundant, and then those cash flows have been reinvested into their core business activities, whether it's overseas capacity expansion or domestic production facility upgrades. So, and that, I think, bodes well for future sustainable growth of corporate Japan.
And Prime Minister Abe, what's his role here in your investment thesis?
Well, we're macro agnostic, but Prime Minister Abe, you know, we like him, and you know, he's a very determined and a great leader. He's been enjoying high approval ratings, and you know, ruling coalition parties are controlling the parliament, so it makes it a lot of easy for him to push through reform agenda.
And reform agenda that might include what? You know, what do you think the policies might be that would actually help the investment climate?
See, the thing about Japan is that the problems are so deep that there's no single policy to solve the entire problem of Japan. So we're talking about number of reforms, tax reforms, corporate governance reforms, job market reforms. And we're saying that, while some may fail, in aggregate, I think it makes a strong argument that Japan is changing for the better. But that's going to take time. And so we need to be patient.
Well, but to that, which two or three do you really think need to happen or will happen even to help the investment environment?
Well, I guess, the recent focus by the government has been on labor market reforms.
That's where I was going with this, exactly.
Yeah, the problem with Japan, has been low labor productivity. So the government has been urging companies to, introduce more meritocracy, performance-based compensation in a compensation framework. So things like that.
And overtime, another big issue in terms of labor reform in Japan.
That's correct. So that and also, bringing in more foreign skilled workers, senior retired workers back into the workforce. There's a lot of things going on just in that space alone.
And when I look at I don't follow Japanese equities much, I mean, with some exceptions. But I look at the TOPIX index, and it's actually had a kind of a nice run these last few years.
Well, that's correct. But if you look at the last 12 to 18 months, it hasn't really gone anywhere, especially the large cap index. So, but like I said, the currency starts to the comp should get easier towards the second half this year. So, but despite that, the market Japan has been a clear laggard among the world indices due to geopolitical tensions and protectionism, populism, etc. So I think going forward, there should be a decent upside from here.
A friend of mine has been traveling there a bunch the last couple of years, and he tells me one of the striking things is that everyone's still smoking, he says, in Japan, that it's one of the biggest surprises he has going from San Francisco to Tokyo and Kyoto even. And I wonder, the role of tobacco stocks in your portfolio and your look at Japan tobacco in particular.
Well, the investment thesis here is that Japan tobacco, the stock price, the stock has been lagging lately because of their domestic share loss against Philip Morris. They have their next generation tobacco heat stick, or better known as IQOS. And, they're taking market share from Japan Tobacco. But Japan Tobacco has their own next generation tobacco technology called Plume Tech. So they will fight back from the second half of this year. So that's one catalyst. And it's globally still growing their sales volume. So, and then lastly, the dividend yield 3.8% is very, very attractive in our opinion.
That is a nice dividend yield. And then really quick, just 15 seconds here, ASICS?
ASICS, we pitched this stock last year, about this time last year, and it went up and came back down, so kind of round trip. And that's because of the softness in the U.S. Market, which is the biggest market for them. But it's the most popular brand among marathoners. And there are some bright spots such as China. And, China is growing by leaps and bounds. So, and if you look at some statistics, they enjoy anywhere between 30% to 40% market share.
I help because I just got some new ASICs here. You're welcome, Masa Takeda, Portfolio Manager, Hennessy Funds. I'm trying to help out where I can. Let's get on now to Nathan Hager, with World and National News headlines out of our D.C. Bureau.
Thanks, Corey. It is the opening bid for what President Donald Trump has promised will be the biggest tax cut in American history. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin helped unveil the White House's long-awaited one-page outline.
Under the Trump plan, we will have a massive tax cut for businesses and massive tax reform and simplification.
Among the highlights, a 15% business tax rate, three brackets for individuals down from 7, and a one-time tax on the estimated $2.6 trillion that U.S. companies keep overseas. What this plan doesn't include are details on how to pay for it. President Trump sounding more optimistic. A vote on replacing the Affordable Care Act could come late this week. The conservative House Freedom Caucus has dropped its opposition to the Republican bill after winning an amendment from New Jersey Congressman Tom MacArthur.
It would allow states to opt out of these essential health benefit requirements that insurance companies are supposed to provide, and it would allow states to opt out of the requirement that insurance companies can't charge sick people more for coverage.
But Bloomberg Politics reporter Sahil Kapoor says moderate Republicans he's spoken to who have opposed the bill before still oppose it. Now, how about a drink to your health? Maybe not. A new study finds a link between moderate social drinking and irregular heartbeats. The New York Times reports German scientists hooked about 3,000 Oktoberfest goers to EKGs. They had just been drinking but weren't legally impaired. More than one in four had resting heartbeats of more than 100 beats a minute. That's fast. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.